Well, it's a big, big day. It's a big, 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 big day. It's the news, according to me. And that's the big part of the day, that it's the news, according to me. We have a show. That's
a big part of the day.
Big thing. It's a big shoe. It's a big, big part of the day because we have a show. That's just... I know everybody's all excited about today because they got up this morning early to listen to the news, according to me. In fact, I understand that today is a holiday just because we're having a show today. That's the primary reason. And I throw a bunch of other stuff in there. I don't know what else is all going on. There's a bunch of other stuff going on. I don't know what else is all. But it's mostly about the news, according to me. Everybody's celebrating today, taking the day off, the national holiday because of the news, according to me. Which is understandable. It's a big show. It's got a lot of influence. Big, powerful station. Big, powerful microphone like mine is finally getting some recognition in the world, which is good. It is January 20th. For those of you who play solitaire, it's a trophy day. And it's 9:41 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I have been... up a few times last night. Yesterday I was in Key West, and that was it was warm. Let's just put it that way. It was almost it was in the 70s, but it was so humid down there. It felt like it was in the 80s. It was so miserable. I had to come back. It was just too hot. I came back here where it's 1 degree. I can only handle 1 degree at a time. This 80 degrees is just overwhelming. Too many degrees. I can't take them all in. So we have 1 degree here this morning. I'm supposed to get up to, I think, all five or six, I think, all at the same time here at some points today, which is that's going to be, I have to break out the shorts again. The electrically driven, fleece-lined, full-body shorts. That's what those are. I have a few things going on here. Mainly, what's the big celebration, I think. I know there's just going to be a big... One of the big things that people do on the News According to Me Day is they bring out a big cup, and they decorate it with lights and paraphernalia, put a little star on top of it, and then they put chai in it. With cinnamon and creamer. And of course, there's always the little trinkets around it, like little backup cups, put around there. And then this morning, I have a little backup cup. The backup cup is Joe Sweet Tea. Peach Tea, I should say. Joe Peach Tea. It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. I think I'm going to take the time today to make myself some sweet tea, some homemade brew. Just because I can. I'm not going outside, and it is cold, so I'm not going to do. I might take the dogs for a walk. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. It is sunny outside, which is, it's at least something. It makes it a little bit better. And it's not so much that I can't stand it. It's I get concerned about, the dogs are out there. Unless you put boots on them, they're out there walking around. Their feet, when it's this cold, if they get damp or wet at all, of course, I got one of my dogs now is a puppy. He's about 9 months old. He weighs about 76 pounds. Give you some idea how big this horse is. His legs are longer than mine. He's a big dog. Oh, man. His paws, he still hasn't grown into his paws yet. He's still, He's going to be a big dog. And I'm not, it's not that I mind having a big dog. It's the amount of food and then, of course, what comes out the other end, how they process that food. That's just everywhere. And that's why I've got a backhoe. I've got a backhoe and a skid steer to help take care of those issues. We're just going to be a food processing plant here for probably the next 10, 15 years. So we have... we have two dogs, and they need to be walked. So I'm not sure if we're going to do that. My wife has taken the day off for news according to me, Dave, we're going to be we might be going out to the park possibly for a little while at least and doing a little bit of walking. We have coats for the dogs. When they're walking, it's not such a big deal. When they're just out milling around and playing around the yard, it's actually more important because they don't really work up their body temperature as well. They're just goofing around. Especially the older one, he doesn't play around as much. He just kind of sits around. So we try to put a little coat on him. But the even going for a walk, if the wind picks up at all, it can really chill him down pretty quickly. And the puppy is a short haired dog. He's not really designed for. He's not a husky. Now, if it was a husky, a coat would be stupid on a dog like that. Not on this dog would not do well. I don't know what we're gonna do. They really need to be walked, but I don't know if we're going to do that or not. I've got some stuff to do outside, but I'm just not going to do it. An alternator, any change on one of my vehicles. I'm not going to do it. I got plenty of other vehicles, so it's not a big deal. Let's wait till spring. Anyway, so I have that going on. So the big things that are going on today. Of course, it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and I'm sure everybody got up today to celebrate, see what kind of presents were underneath the little Martin Luther King Jr. statue that they have in their house with all the decorations. This used to be President's Day. I think it wasn't just President's Day, and now it's Martin Luther King Jr., who was never a president, by the way, in case you're wondering. He was a reverend, and I would say an actual reverend. He actually preached sermons. Of course, the sermons were very, I would say, politically saturated. A social issue saturated, I should say, which was a political issue at the time. Unlike Reverend Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, who claim to be reverends, they are far, far, far from being what I would say gospel preachers. But who am I to judge that? Well, I am a believer. And I have the Word of God, so I'll just let that speak for itself. Al Sharpton, by the way, has a radio broadcast, podcast type thing he does. I believe it is a part of MSNBC. I believe, I don't know if it's CNN or MSNBC, one of the two, and one of the legacies. And he... let's just say the way he got that position, that job, that show was much like all the other funding he's gotten in the past, much like also Reverend Jackson. The way he funded things. Let's just say the word extortion comes to mind. I digress. I'm not going to. That may be the wrong word. I don't know. I'm not a wordsmith. I'm not sure exactly even what that word means. For those of you who are wondering, because I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an English teacher, I'm not a doctor or a financial counselor. Speaking of finances, it's interesting. I do some aggressive investing. I've got some long term investments as well as some aggressive investments. And I do some macro investments into small business and stuff like that. I have to play around a lot. But diversity is the key. Just keeping things diverse and having a percentage of things in certain things. It just seems like it works for me anyway. So I'm not out to get rich. I'm just out to, just continue to try to, I want to get rich. Don't get me wrong. I don't mind being rich. Nothing wrong with that. The love of money. Money is the root of all evil. That's what they said. Money is the root of all evil. It's not what Jesus said. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. There you go. So, Onward and Upward. We have the big deal today, and I've been dancing around it, acting like it's not going to happen, just like ignoring it. It's Inauguration Day. Of course, if you have a hard time saying that, last night my wife was – she was tired. I had come home last night. I think she was actually already in bed or just getting ready for bed. And at one point, we were talking about something. And she was getting all tangled up on that word. It was she could not say it. And of course, since she was having a hard time saying it, I almost, you know, tried to say it the right way so she could hear it. And then I found myself thinking to myself, I'm not sure if I can even say it right now. So I was just exhausted yesterday. I was in El Paso, by the way, on Saturday, and that's just to give you an idea. El Paso, if you've ever been in the El Paso airport, you will think, other than the facilities being spotless for the most part, I mean, it's, if you've ever been in Mexico City, let's just put it that way, the Mexico City airport, it's not exactly the, most pristine airport in the world. Not bad. It just doesn't compare to most airports in this country. They're fairly clean facilities. In most major cities, anyway. Except for Miami's kind of different. It's just different. Now you go to Europe, there are some, most of them there are, I go to Asian airports, and there are airplanes, everything is spotless there. Eastern Asia. We have so much happening today. There are a lot of executive orders that are taking place. I don't know how long it's going to be before we get no tax on tips, but I guarantee you. Speaking of tips, of course, President Trump is being sworn in today. Hopefully all goes well. And I will eat crow on this because I am absolutely and thoroughly shocked because I think that the plan was originally to do something like this, and I'm sure it was kicked around. But if you happen to see the Jimmy Carter funeral at all, if you saw any, I saw some clips of things happening there. And there was recently a clip of Joe Biden coming out and talking about the ceasefire arrangement, the ceasefire deal. Kamala Harris, I can't explain this. You just have to watch it. You have to look for the clip of Joe Biden giving the announcement, especially the last 30 seconds of his little escapade there before the press. At the funeral, you could tell that Kamala Harris was not comfortable at all. She didn't know, you know how some people don't know where to put their hands when they're talking, or they kind of are uncomfortable in one way or another. They'll kind of hold their hands funny. She didn't know what to do with her face or her eyes or anything. She was just incredibly uncomfortable in that situation. Of course, at one point she looked back at the wrong time because Obama and Trump were sitting next to each other, which they wouldn't have been if Michelle had been there. My understanding is that they're supposed to sit a certain way, and Michelle would have been sitting next to Trump. And of course, she didn't want to go because she didn't want to sit next to Trump because he's Hitler. He's the epitome of, he's the manifestation of everything that's wrong with anybody ever that existed. He's the worst person on the planet, according to her. And so she didn't want to go. She's boycotting. She's boycotting the inauguration because she's, because Orange Man bad. Well, she don't want to be seen there. Because she's petty and she's a junior high kid. It's just pettiness is what this is. It's ridiculous. Oh, she's really sticking it to the man. Yeah, okay, really. This is what happens when you isolate yourself from someone by not attending. I'm not going to go to my family's Thanksgiving because they don't deserve to have me there. you realize at some point you're going to be cutting off everybody that you disagree with. If you start cutting off everybody you disagree with, at some point you're going to be very much alone. Because you're going to find something that you agree disagree with somebody all the time. I mean, there's always, no matter how close a person is to you, they're going to find something you disagree with. You're going to isolate yourself from that person. Well, I think the number two lead pencil is better than the number one lead pencil. Oh, I don't. Well, get out of my life. I mean, whatever it is, you will find something that you can justify getting rid of that person from your life. I have no use for you, and I'm better than you. That's really what you're saying. I'm better than you, and my opinions are better than yours, and you don't deserve to have me around because I'm better than you. That's really what you're saying. That's called haughtiness, arrogance. So Kamala came out with Joe to make this announcement about how, hello, everyone, we have now reached a ceasefire agreement. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the little dog. Have you ever seen this? This little dog, like a little chihuahua, is out there barking at some big animal of some kind. So, you know, some little bear comes into the yard and this little chihuahua's barking at him. The bear looks at it like, oh, it's just a little chihuahua. It looks like a good snack. They start moving towards the chihuahua. And around the corner comes the big old German shepherd. Doesn't even bark, just comes around the corner, stands there. And the little predator says, I think I'm going to go away now. I'm just not going to get into that. So he goes away. And the chihuahua thinks, he saved the day. That's what this reminds me of. This Joe Biden coming out and going, yip, 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 yip. In the meantime, behind, you know, what's really happening is the real dog in charge standing back there just kind of folding his arms, smiling, going, yeah, you go ahead and take credit for that, Joe. Just whatever you want to say, whatever. We all know the truth on this one. You've been trying for how many years to stop the war with Israel and Hamas? And you didn't do anything. So, you know, the whole. So it's just at the. It's interesting. It's just interesting. Well, in the meantime, while he's out there talking, doing all this, he's up there, you know, trying to read the teleprompter, and he's obviously reading a teleprompter. And then he gets up there, he gets done, and he starts to walk away, and someone says, you know, was this. Just give any credit to Trump for this or anything, something to that effect. He turns around. He kind of turns around, you know, because he's already walking away without answering any questions. And he kind of turns around and goes, has this weird, you know, half smile. He does this weird half smile thing. Goes, it's all portrayal. When he does this, this is an act. He goes, is that a joke? And what was really bizarre about it was the look on Kamala's face. The whole time Joe is there talking, she doesn't look at him. She's looking, she's kind of staring off into the distance. There is a loathing and a seething, I think, between the two of them that is beyond words, description of words. And so here she is. She has to go out there and stand there with Joe. Which I don't know why she would have had to, but she did. I don't know why she did, actually. Somebody told her that was, you know, that's a good political move, apparently. And she doesn't say a word. Joke is done, and I'm sure the whole time she's thinking, this babbling buffoon ruined my life. I'm sure she's. This is the thing about. You have to understand, these people are like 12-year-olds. They don't know how to take responsibility for their own faults for their own defeat. She will, I'm sure, I'm positive, she's blaming it on everybody else, everything else. Well, I didn't have time to run a campaign. I didn't have time to do this, time to do that. I didn't have enough money. I only had $1.2 billion to spend. Joe didn't stand up for me. Didn't do enough for me. Joe got in the way. Joe stood up too much for me. He said too much. He didn't say enough. He said the wrong things. Whatever it is, there's always an excuse. Somebody else's fault. And in fact, there was a point since the election. There's been a few times where she's punched down and said people in the campaign didn't do a good job. So it just goes on and on with these people. So she gets this weird look. She kind of tries to do the same kind of smile. Like, is that a joke? She turns around. I mean, dare I say, I'm not saying she was heavily medicated under the influence of any kind of inebriated type stuff. But I will say this. She looked like she was. It looked more like medication to me than alcohol. But I don't know. I'm just saying it looked like it. I'm not saying she was, because I'm not a doctor. I'm not an anesthesiologist. I can't even spell it. I'm just saying it looked that way from my perspective. And I have, you know, it's in the eye of the beholder here. I'm the beholder, and I can say what I thought because it's the news according to me. So just, you see how all work comes down to that? All comes back to me, because it's all about me. Anyway, so today's the inauguration day. There's some speculation as to how many executive orders will be signed today. I think there's up at least 50, possibly over 100 will be signed today. You have to understand every executive order is kind of a ceremonial thing. They have to have a certain number of pens, and he signs part of his name with this, and some, you know, it has to go through like 20 pens for every signing. And he starts handing those pens out. A different crowd comes in for every executive order that's signed. You have a bunch of different people standing behind you because it's people that represent that particular issue. It would take probably 4, 5, 10, 12, 24, 5 thousand hours. I don't know how long it takes to get through them all. And of course, there's a whole lot of other things that are going on today, a lot of other celebrations and stuff. So let's hope that no nefarious activities happen. But one thing we know, what's really weird about this time of him coming into office, and this is so different than 2016, because in 2017, when he was inaugurated, because I'm sure there's going to be some protests, but it's nothing like it was in 2017. There will be protests. There's already people out there that are marching through the streets in Seattle doing some weird things. And it's kind of falling on deaf ears this time. I think people are just tired of it. They're just tired of it. It's like, enough already with all the rhetoric. We've just had it. And everybody, I think, that I've interacted with over this last weekend, especially, but in the last few weeks, and the way people were talking yesterday, well, we'll see how things change tomorrow. We'll see what happens. They're not doom and gloom about it at all. They're kind of looking, and they sound actually kind of hopeful. Well, let's hope things change for the better. Let's hope we get some things done. It just has blown me away in the general attitude among the American people in this situation. They really are, I think, I know the independents are just disgusted by the Democrat Party right now. They're disgusted by some of the news media. You can just see that in the way the listenership among MSNBC and CNN has just tanked. It has just gone completely off the charts to the bottom of the charts. It is just terrible. So I think that they're still trying to get their footing. They're still trying to figure this out because they had convinced themselves for so long that she was winning. See, they had to keep it. They had to pretend like the race was close and that she was just barely ahead so that people would keep donating money, the big donors especially. Those are the ones they really want, you know, the million-dollar donors to the PAC groups. And then take all that money and they slosh it around, and of course it did no good whatsoever. They outspent the Trump campaign by 2-1. He won the popular vote and the electoral vote. Swept the swing states. They don't know what to say. Other than racist, misogynist America. This country sucks. This country is terrible. Recently had, and I'm planning on, I'm going to try, since I'm going to be spending a lot of time in the house today, I'm going to try to put together a few things. One of the main things I'm going to try to put together for you is some of the things that have been said, or some of the things that are happening with some of these groups that are out there protesting, that have been protesting in the last couple of weeks. You have to listen to, when you listen to it, you're like, are you trying to, you know, I'm trying to understand how you're trying to change people's minds with this kind of rhetoric. They're out there, they have three or four different things they're protesting against. We know, well, they're protesting against police officers, they're protesting against Donald Trump, they're protesting against America in general. And I guess you're trying to win the hearts and souls and the minds of people. I don't understand what your agenda is, and I don't even think they understand how they're being used just to sow civil discourse. No rhyme or reason, no mission, no plan, no how are we going to get through this, how are we going to restore things, how are we going to make America better. It's all about tearing things down and accusations, and just all, you know, all day the accuser stands there accusing, and that's the spirit they're stepping into. It is not this idea that America can be exceptional in more than one way. We, you know, when we talk about this, it's supposed to be President's Day as well, but let's just talk about this whole thing of how America is supposed to be exceptional. This is where people get their definitions wrong, and this is, I blame this on the public school system. They're not teaching kids what the understanding of the meaning of the term America is an exceptional nation. Well, that basketball player, he's exceptional. He really does. You know, he's incredible. That they think of it as being above everybody else or better than everybody else. That's not necessarily what this means. It just means different. We are the exception to the rule among other nations in the way they have been run and the way they have built their governments. No other nation, no other country, with the exception of a few. There's been a few small exceptions where they've done a similar thing, but nothing like what the United States experiment has been. Which is what makes it exceptional, and that is to build a nation that is for, of, and by the people, based on individual rights and individual, I'll call it accountability and liability, but it's basically individual self-rule. This has never happened in the history of the world that we know of. It has been much more either tribal, monarchical, or dictatorships. There's never been a time when it's been a representative government built on individual rights, where the government is subservient to the people. It's a very unique thing. And that's probably the better way to put it. Rather than saying it's exceptional, America is unique. Now, because it's so unique, it has created this exceptional thing, and part of that is true open, you know, free market society. I won't call it a capitalist society. Capitalism is not a bad thing. The problem is you've got crony capitalism, you've got all kinds of corrupt capitalism that's been incorporated into the political scene, which causes nothing but a seething underbelly of darkness. But the idea of open markets and free trade is a huge, huge thing. Now, the whole thing of tariffs, and this is where people don't understand. Well, it's going to be a tax on American people. You could put tariffs, if you properly, and the reason tariffs came into place to begin with, the reason tariffs were imposed on imported goods was because we didn't have income tax in this country. You realize there was no income tax until the 1900s. The use of tariffs, if we did it properly, could eliminate. Of course, now the price of goods is going to go up, but there will be no income tax. Imagine that. Now, what would happen with entitlements like Social Security and those kinds of things? I don't know. There's that again. It's another Ponzi scheme which could be eliminated as well. And there's other things that people could do with that. I think it's one of the worst investments. I think Dave Ramsey said, if you look at the way it comes out, I think it's you put your money into all this. You pay out in Social Security your whole life, and the return is about 5% less than what you paid into it. Whereas if you would take the same amount of money and put it into an index fund, for example, you'd have about, $13 million or something by the time you got to your retirement age. For the average American, the average salary. I think you could probably retire on that and pay for, extended health care as well with that. But that's not the way they operate. They just don't operate that way. So it's been very, frustrating, to say the least. Anyway, so things are going to change, and I think there's an air of hopefulness in the nation right now, and I think it's going to reflect in the markets. But the powers that be are not just going to sit back and say, "Well, I guess we just lost the war." No, they see this as losing a battle. They don't see it as losing the war. They're still going to fight as much as they can. They're going to do as much as they can to get this stuff done. Now, my understanding is Trump's cabinet is actually being—they're Pam Bondi knocked it out of the park. Hegseth, in my opinion, incredible job getting through that process. The rest of them have been doing very well as well, and I think that there's just a matter of the people he's choosing. You know, people like, look at some of the people he's chosen in the past and what he was choosing back in the day. You know, he had Manafort. Who were some of the others that he? I can't think of the guy's name. A lot of the people he chose, like to run his campaign managers, and some other people, and some of the people he had on his cabinet, and then they turn right around and end up working for MSNBC and CNN. So it tells you really where they are. And I think he's picking people right now who have been publicly on the side of conservatism, and they have a public image to maintain, and people know them publicly. Now, I'm not going to say that everybody, there's people on Fox News that claim to be on board with the Republican agenda, and they're on board with conservatism, and they're not at all. Who's Alyssa Morano, or whatever her name was, Moreno, was on Fox and Friends for many years, and all of a sudden she's now on MSNBC and she is a Trump hater. It's just weird to see that, because she was so much a part of the family over there at Fox. Recently, Paul Ryan was being interviewed, like he matters at all anymore. Former House Speaker. The little ticker thing that was running across the bottom. Former House Speaker Paul Ryan. Now keep in mind, the person he replaced was a... And I'm not saying this is... guys, everybody has their vice. Everybody has their problems. I'm not condemning the man. I'm just saying. What I do condemn is hypocrisy. And this, if you remember John Boehner, was a very manipulative individual on top of being a lush. He was an incredible alcoholic. Nobody knew that until about the time he was resigning. He was not recovering. He was an alcoholic, and it's probably much like Nancy Pelosi. I believe she is. That's allegedly. I think she is. In my opinion, she's got issues. And if you recall, you know, Paul Ryan stepped in after him, and pretty much was his. And Paul Ryan was the Speaker of the House in 2017. He was a never-Trumper, did everything he could to undermine Trump's agenda. Well, that's not happening this time. Now, Mike Johnson, while he says he's on board with everything Trump's doing, I don't know that he is. I don't trust him that far. But at least he seems to be on the friendly side. Of the Trump MAGA movement. I think he's definitely interested in getting the president's agenda done because he realizes. He's a quasi rhino, I would say. He's kind of in the middle of the road rhino. Not really full. I don't know. I still see him as basically a part of the establishment or trying to appease the establishment. He's certainly not anti-establishment. So we have this going on, but at least we have favor with some of these people, and we'll actually try to get some of these things passed through the House. And I think that just the whole atmosphere is different this time. I don't think it would have been this way if Trump would have had a second term. Now, if there would have been a massive landslide victory for Donald Trump in 2016, which there may have been. I don't know yet. It's one of those things where, yeah, okay, so you're called some kind of a criminal if you question the 2016 election. They want to send you to the firing squad for that. If you say that, you should be stricken from any possibility of ever being in government at all because you don't believe the 2016 election. Even though the 2020 election, I'm sorry, but the 2016 election, they were all over that for 4 years. All we heard was this is an illegitimate president. He's an illegitimate president. The Russians hacked the elections. He was installed by the Russians came over here and hacked our votes. They bought ads on Facebook. I could spend like $100,000. Hillary campaign spent about $1 billion. If they would have just taken out a few ads on Facebook, they could have won. Those are some pretty effective ads, apparently, the Russians did. Because, you know, we were told that the Russians definitely meddled in our elections. Okay, in what way did they meddle, and how much effect did it have? How many votes did they change? You spent $40 million, you should be able to figure that out. You should have somebody on your staff. For $40 million, you should be able to hire a team of people that would understand how to quantify that, I would think. But no, it was just that was the statement, that was the rhetoric, that was the narrative that they had to put that. They put that out there. There you go. Now the news media can use that. Nope, the Mueller investigation proved that the Russians tried to meddle in our elections. Which Russians? Well, first of all, was it the government of Russia? Was it just Russians in general? Was it American Russians? Was it what? Quantify some of these statements and show us some receipts here. They never do that. They just put the narrative out there. Okay, there you go. It's what you paid the $40 million for. And yet they're excused from any kind of rhetoric. Just like Adam Schiff the other day when he was going after Pam Bundy for saying, you know, do you believe the 2020 election? Who do you think won the 2020 election? Because he's concerned about people going back after these people for the stuff that he doesn't want that to be investigated. Then he has the gall. This, listening to this, I hope I can find this. He's going after Pam Bondi for the possibility. Are you going to destroy evidence from January 6th? January 6th evidence? January 6th commission? The only evidence that's been, she was appalled by that statement, by the question. She wasn't going to even entertain the question because it is so ludicrous for him to make that kind of accusation or statement in general anyway. Because the January 6th commission, when they closed down that commission and Republicans took control of the House, they destroyed thousands and thousands of gigabytes of data, all kinds of evidence, all kinds of video. They destroyed it. They claimed they lost it, or they got rid of it because the commission had shut down, so they can dispose of the evidence. No. And then you have somebody coming out there saying, are you going to get rid of the evidence? There was exculpatory evidence that they destroyed. And they have the gall to come back and say something. That just absolutely amazes me. Amazes me. The hypocrisy, the hubris that these people have. And they're still out there, folks. They're still doing it. So we will see how this pans out now throughout the next. They only have one playbook, and that's Orange Man Bad, and he's a traitor, he's treasonous, and all this stuff. They're going to start accusing him again. Well, for day one, he's lied 10,000 times today, and tomorrow it'll be 20,000 times, and next tomorrow. You know, every word that comes out of his mouth is supposedly a lie. And that's what we're going to hear for a while. Because they have not learned their lesson. That kind of rhetoric is not winning the American people over. It's just making them look childish. So there you go. That's all I've got to share for the day. If anything wild happens today, I might come back on this evening with another short news according to me snippet. What I used to call them. Yeah, I used to have a name for it. Breakthrough news, because everything was breakthrough back in the early 2023. So we will go forward now with the rest of this day and the rest of this week and see how things pan out. But I believe we're in for some good times ahead of us. I think the nation's on the path to some restoration in some areas, at least. So we will see. We shall just see what we say. We'll see what we see. I don't know. We'll see. Folks, God bless. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. And I will talk to you tomorrow. See ya.